I left off in the second part of this audio presentation of Over Your Head, I had quoted Irvin Laszlo. I'll repeat, bypassing the traditional channels of top-down decision-making. Our objective centers upon transforming public opinion into an effective instrument of global politics. Individual values must be measured by their contribution to common interests or common lusts, and ultimately to world interests or world lusts. Transforming public consensus means with feelings, into unfavorable to the emergence of a stable and humanistic world order. Consensus is both a personal and a political step. It is a precondition of all future steps. As I shared last time, when God told Adam what he could and could not do and held him accountable for disobeying, that's a political system. That's the traditional home. What the serpent did by removing threat of judgment for lusting, that's a different political system. One is discussion. The other is dialogue. Marx's famous quotation on his tombstone, Feuerbach Thesis number 11, reads like this: the philosophers have only interpreted the world in different ways. The objective, however, is change. In other words, it is the Father's authority system, the Father's established commands, rules, facts, and truth, which differ from father to father, that divides the people. It is in the child's propensity to respond or change in accordance to the situation or the object, people or person in the moment, that is the objective of life. Without the help of the facilitator of change, the child remains subject to the father's authority system. The facilitator of change perceiving himself as being the personification of the people. This is important to understand. This is the mindset of those who are now changing our society. The facilitator of change perceiving himself as being the personification of the people, who like him lust after the carnal pleasures of the moment that the world stimulates, hating restraint, sees it as his duty to justify the people's natural inclination to lust after pleasure in order to justify his natural inclination to lust after pleasure. It's all about the facilitator. He's up there saying it's all about the group, it's all about society, when it's a lie, it's a deception, it's all about him. When you question the facilitator of change's action, he will respond with, it's not just about you. Really meaning, and this is the true meaning, this is what's going on, it's all about me, so I can lust after pleasure without having a guilty conscience. With your affirmation, if you refuse to affirm me, my lust, or get in my way, the people will remove, negate you, since having justified their lust, I now own them. It appears I must keep an eye on you from now on for my good. This is the true meaning of site-based management. Bloom's Taxonomies reads in the second book, Effective Domain, there are many stories of the conflict and tension that these new practices are producing between parents and children. All educators are certified and schools accredited based upon their use of what are called Bloom's Taxonomies in their classroom. Ask any teacher today if they have ever heard of Bloom's Taxonomies, and they will probably smile, thinking you're a fellow comrade ready to inform them on the same new way of some new way of applying it in the classroom. Any teacher questioning or challenging their use in the classroom will be looking for another job, if they can find one, having been labeled unfit to teach. Quote, Bloom's Taxonomies, this is in his book, a psychological classification system used to develop attitudes and values which are not shaped by the parents. Ordering different kinds of affective behavior, the range of emotions organized into value systems and philosophies of life. It was a view of the group that educational objectives stated in the behavior form have their counterparts in the behavior of individuals, observable and describable. True science is observable and repeatable, therefore classifiable, which makes it very subjective. an opinion-oriented. Only those educational programs which can be specified in terms of intended student behaviors. Remember Carl Rogers, controlling the intent, the motives, can be classified. What we are classifying is the intended behavior of students, the way in which individuals are to act, think, or feel as a result of participating in some unit of instruction. Order and relating the different kinds of effective behavior. Whoever controls the environment, whatever the person uses up front as a means of learning, whether it's discussion or dialogue, directly affects the outcome. That's what's going on. It's moving the classroom, the consensus meet or the meeting, whatever form, total quality management, workplace, government, your representatives in a conference or in a meeting, group meeting, moving it from discussion to dialogue or through dialogue to a discussion, which ends up being the result of dialogue. He says, we need to provide the range of emotion from neutrality through mild to strong emotion, probably of a positive but possibly also a negative kind, organized into value systems and philosophies of life. Many of these changes are produced by association with peers who are less authoritarian points of view, as well as through the impact of great many courses of study in which an authoritarian pattern is in some way brought into question, while more rational and non-authoritarian behaviors are emphasized. This is Bloom's taxonomy. You as a teacher cannot use this process without destroying the student's faith in God and accountability to their parents' authority. The total and only purpose of use of Bloom's taxonomy is to destroy the traditional home structure. Period. He continues, the student must feel free to say he disliked whatever it is and not have to worry about being punished for his reaction. Hello, Genesis 3, 1 through 6. The affective domain, he writes, or that is a student's natural inclination to lust after the carnal pleasure of the moment the world stimulates, contains the forces that determine the nature of an individual's life and ultimately the life of an entire people. The affective domain is, in retrospect, a virtual Pandora's box. Now, Pandora's box is a mythological story about what was originally a jar, a box full of evil. He knows this story. It's a box full of evil. And once you open it, you can't close it. What comes out of the box? Evil. Evil. The affective domain in the second book is entitled The Affective Domain, and you start the classroom with the affective domain. He's evaluating the affective domain. Moving, and that's dialogue. Discussion is commands, rules, facts, and truth. Dialogue is affective domain. It is in this box that the most influential controls are to be found. So once you bring the students over to feelings determining right and wrong behavior, now you can buy and sell their soul. They're liberated from the restraint of the father. They no longer can think apart from the group, apart from their feelings, their lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, of pride of life. What will happen to me? They start with, what can I get out of this for me? Which always ends up, what will happen to me if they turn on me, reject me? In fact, a large part of what we call good teaching is a teacher's ability to attain effective objectives through challenging the students' fixed beliefs. Who gave those children those fixed beliefs? And who gave educators the right to actually allow those children to challenge their fixed beliefs when you wouldn't do it? You wouldn't put up with it. When your child, when you told them to do something, they go, why? And if they just walked out, you wouldn't put up with it. And yet that classroom is all about allowing them to challenge your authority and get free from it. Just like Genesis 3, 1 through 6. And getting them to discuss issues. Well, they're going to discuss issues, but it's from their feelings and their thoughts of the moment, from the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Then he continues. He said, in the more traditional society, a philosophy of life, a mode of conduct is spelled out for its members at an early stage in their lives. That's traditional. That's a discussion. A major function of education in such a society is to achieve the internalization of this philosophy. This is not to suggest that education in an open society. Notice he said traditional should have been transformational. But he goes open. He didn't say closed on the other one. And so it's to prevent you from gaining a full understanding of the manipulation that's going on in this training. He said, this is not to suggest that education in an open society does not attempt to develop personal and social values. It does indeed. But more than a traditional society, it allows the individual a greater amount of freedom in which to achieve a Weltanschauung. And he puts a footnote, and at the bottom he gives us two names, Eric Fromm and Theodore Adorno. Well, Fromm and Adorno were who Bloom referred to as representing his Weltanschauung or worldview were Marxists. Yes, I said Marxists. Bloom's taxonomy is built on Marxism and no other source. It is pure Marxism. These are members of the Frankfurt School, formerly known as the Institute of Social Research, who, fleeing fascist Germany, came to America in the early 30s, entered our universities, raising up Marxists who entered our classrooms, workplace, government, and even the church, replacing discussion with dialogue in establishing behavior. The Marxist Eric Fromm wrote, we are proud that in his conduct of life, man has become free from external authorities, which tell him what to do and what not to do. All that matters is the opportunity for genuine activity to be restored to the individual, and that the purposes of society and his own become identical. What's that? Lust. To give up God, this is his writing. This is Bloom. Your teachers are all grounded on Bloom's taxonomy, that structure, and it's built on Eric Fromm, and he goes, to give up God and to establish a concept of man as a being who can feel at home in it, in the world, if he achieves union with his fellow man and with nature. All is of the world is of the world. Then the Marxist Theodore Adorno wrote, by the way, Fromm's writing was Escape from Freedom, the book that Bloom referred to as his worldview. The Marxist Theodore Adorno, in his book Authoritarian Personality, he writes, authoritarian submission, that's Jesus humbling himself before the Father. He who does my Father's will in heaven is my brother, sister, mother. That's an authoritarian submission, was conceived as a very general attitude that be evoked in a relation to a variety of authority figures, parents, older people, leaders, supernatural power, and so forth. God is conceived more directly after parental image and thus as a source of support and as a guiding and sometimes punishing authority. Oh, so the teachers cannot bring up God in the classroom and asking the students to humble themselves before, but they are trained in a process that is deliberately intended in removing God from their lives and from the lives of the students. Submission to authority, desire for a strong leader, subservience of the individual to the state. See, parental authority is associated in this process to nationalism. And so forth, have so frequently, and as it seems to us, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, correctly, been set forth as an important aspect of the Nazi creed. So God is a Nazi. This is the correlation. This is the generalization. That a search for correlates of prejudice had naturally to take these attitudes into account. 2 + 2 = 4 and cannot be any other number is prejudice. You see how mad these people are? Family relationships are characterized by fearful subservience of the demand of the parents and by an early suppression of impulses not acceptable to them. The power relationship between the parents, the domination of the subject's family by the father or by the mother, and their relative dominance in specific areas of life also seem of importance to our problem. What's the problem? The father in the home. That's the problem. There is no other problem. The error in Adorno's logic is that all forms of socialism, including fascism, must negate the father's authority in the home and in the individual, in order to initiate and sustain the socialist control over the individual, that's the people. The educator, the facilitator of change, does not have to tell the students to question, challenge, defy, disregard, attack their parents' authority when they get home from school, if they're not doing that already, Telling them would be old school, maintaining the old world order of being told, even if it was done for the purpose of change, for the purpose of creating a new world order. All they have to do is use a curriculum in a classroom that encourages, that is, pressures the students to participate in the process of change, that's the effective domain, into dialoguing their opinions to a consensus. There's no father's authority in dialogue. There's no father's authority in opinion. There is no father's authority in the consensus process. Justifying their carnal nature, lust over and therefore against the parent's authority. Being told to be positive, supportive of the other student's carnal nature, and not negative, judging them by their parent's standards, pressures students to justify their and the other student's love of pleasure and hate of restraint, doing so in order to be approved, affirmed by the group, resulting in the group labeling those students who, holding on to their parent's standards, refusing to participate in the process of change, or fighting against it as being negative, divisive, hateful, intolerant, maladjusted, unadaptable to change, resistors of change, not a team player, lower order thinkers, in denial, phobic, prejudiced, judgmental, racist, fascist, dictators, antisocial, and so forth. That is, hurting people's feelings, resulting in the group rejecting them. The student's natural desire for approval and fear of rejection forces him to participate. You're not there to defend your child. The same outcome applies to all adults in any profession who participate in the process. Once you are labeled for life. In the Soviet Union, once you were labeled psychological, no matter how important you were in the past, your life was over. Your career was done. By replacing discussion with dialogue when it comes to behavior, the deed is done. Psalms 36, 1 through 4, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes, until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He devises mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Psalms 10, 3 and 4, for the wicked boasts of his heart's desire and blesses the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. This sums it up, 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, other words, something new, something new, something new. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. 1 Timothy 3, 2 through 5. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. 2 Corinthians 6, 15 through 18. For what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from amongst them, and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll be the one who directs your paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6.